This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me right now is the great play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals on Monumental Sports for many, many years now, Joe Beninati, joining us at Joe BPXP on X on Twitter to follow Joe. By the way, Joe does everything well, and I actually was listening to Joe call the Maryland-Ohio State lacrosse Big Ten title the other night. You get around. That was a pretty good game. Was Maryland the one seed, or was Ohio State the one seed?
Ohio State's the one seed in the Big Ten, Kevin, but Maryland had beaten seven top 10 ranked teams during the regular season total.
Yeah.
So when it came time for NCAA tournament seeding, Maryland was actually a higher seed than Ohio State, the team that just beat their brakes off in the Big Ten championship game. But Maryland had beaten Ohio State 3 weeks prior. So I think John Tillman's team is terrific. Nick Myers' team in Columbus, Ohio is really damn good too. I wouldn't be surprised if you had a couple of Big Ten teams in that NCAA championship weekend, depending upon how the brackets square out. I'm not sure how that lines up, but yeah, really good game. And I you know me, it's a love for me to do that sport.
Yeah.
It's one that I grew up with.
You played it, and were good at it. And I'm looking at the bracket, actually. This was not what I intended to talk to you about. But I do know I do know that there are people listening that are very much into this. In fact, I know some of the kids on the Maryland team because I know the families very well. Maryland is the overall 2 seed. Cornell's 1. Princeton's 3 and Ohio State's 4. Maryland and Ohio State are on opposite sides of the bracket. Maryland would play Robert Morris Air Force and then Duke Georgetown to get to, it would appear, the Final Four. So
I just think when Maryland has a week to prepare for teams, that coaching staff, that head coach in particular, John Tillman, and the players, the way they respond to him, they get it done. I'll throw this quick aside at you, Kevin. During the semifinal win for Maryland, we interviewed Logan McNaney post-game. And afterwards, the producer's in my ear, okay, just quick thanks and cold. So I thank him, congratulate him, and he's like, yeah, go Caps.
That's awesome. Well, he obviously knew who he was being interviewed by.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you call any of these games in the tournament or not?
No, I wish. It's the same issue with regard to me and ESPN, where I would love to be involved. They know I want to be involved, but there are people on contracts who need to get their events. So this is a lonely part for me. I lonely watch the NCAA tournament unfold, and in the same way I'm sitting in the arena last night watching the Stanley Cup playoffs unfold. It's the best time of the year, but it's the toughest time of the year for me.
All right, let's get to why I reached out to you. So, in brief, you know me. I don't know the sport like I think that I know other sports. But last night, I think anybody could have identified, if they're a sports fan, a one-sided game. That the final score, not even close to reflecting how much Carolina dominated. Fair or not?
Oh, completely. And don't sell yourself short. You know this sport. Yeah, that game was, and I said it, it was one of the most lopsided 1-1 games I've ever seen in a long, long time. Logan was terrific, and that's exactly what I think Caps fans should hold their heads high, knowing that this, in my opinion, was going to be a long series, and if it's going to be, Logan's going to need to play like that. But that was just about as close to a perfectly executed road playoff game as you can get. Both of those teams were on relatively equal rest. It should come as no surprise to Washington what Carolina wants to do, but their execution of it was matter-of-factly close to perfect last night. And they do what they do. Washington has a very similar schematic approach to the game, so there's no surprises at all between these two squads. It was simply that Carolina executed at an incredibly high level. Logan kept him close, and you're going to hear all the metrics about shot volume and shots attempted and goals above expected, all this good stuff. It comes down to, for Washington's sake, it's always been a matter of quality versus quantity. Carolina and Brind'Amour, they favor quantity. They want to throw everything they can at the other team's goalie. I think Washington waits for the better scoring chances, and if this series plays out the way we saw last night, the Caps are going to have to be incredibly efficient, very economic, because they're not going to get very many chances. When they do, they have to bury them.
So that's perfect segue into what I wanted to get to, because, you know, they were, in terms of shots on goal, 33-14 Carolina, but the shot attempts, 94-34. Everybody has explained, including going into the series, because I had John Walton on the show on radio yesterday, that this is what Carolina does. It's about volume of shots. What I haven't had necessarily explained well, but I bet you will, is, you know, the quality of chances, you know, the better scoring chances isn't necessarily Carolina's MO. It's about attempts. And 60 more attempts is pretty incredibly one-sided. But my question to you is, does it make kind of the counterattack, the counterpunch, more likely when a team is that aggressive, and as long as they're not getting consistent high-quality chances, is it a strategy that could pay off for the Caps in the form of like what Ryan Leonard had late, you know, or two-on-ones in sort of the counter, you know, punch ability off of the way Carolina's playing?
Everybody knows their philosophy. They are constantly stressing you, and the question is, can you expose their vulnerabilities? It's in football, I'm going to zero blitz you to death. Okay, you can do that, and you'll get home, and you'll get to the quarterback, but you are going to leave yourself exposed to some one-on-ones.
Right.
And in that instance, that's where the counterpunch, that's the countermeasure. The 90 attempts, 90-plus shot attempts, to me, speaks more than anything to a stat that was season-long with Carolina. Kevin, nobody spends more time in the offensive zone than Carolina. They get the puck in deep very well. They forecheck the bejesus out of you. They force turnover after turnover. The thing that Caps fans do not want to hear Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro, if they remain on the series, I'm not sure if they're there tomorrow, but you don't want to hear Sean and Ray talking about, there's another almost clear. They almost got it out. No. Every chance the Caps tomorrow night get to get the puck out of the zone, it has to get out. If it doesn't, it just turns into these waves and waves of momentum,
right,
shift after shift. Spencer Carberry put it to us perfectly in the lead up to this series. He's like, you cannot let one strong Carolina shift of momentum turn into two, three, four different changes of personnel where they are just jamming it at you. And that's what they love to do. That is their MO. They will not stop. They are relentless. It starts from the head coach, and the players buy in 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the expression, the ice was tilted. I mean, it was at 180 degrees last night, it felt like. You know, back to the question I asked, what I'm getting at is the strategy to even out the tilting of the ice, or is it to create more opportunities from their over-aggressiveness on the counter?
A little bit of both. And honestly, Kevin, what Carolina does really well, Washington does really well. That's Washington's strength normally, is get the puck deep, get it beyond the defenders for Carolina, force them back, force them into panic situations, hit, forecheck, use your strength, use that heavy brand of play that the Caps are known for, force turnovers, create off those turnovers, score goals. What the Caps do is what the Canes do. Now, who gets to execute it better? And for some reason last night, Washington's passing game, which has been very good of late, Washington's breakout game, getting the puck from the defensive zone out into neutral, out into offense, that's called breaking out. The Caps have been breaking out so very well all season long. Carolina has a way of neutralizing those skills. Washington will try to do the same thing and try to put that onto Carolina's plate. Here's the difference last night. The thing that stood out to me, and it's amazing, I've said this a time or two, when I'm calling a game is one thing. When I'm watching as a spectator, as an interested pre- and post-game show analyst, host, or whatever I am, I see things differently. And the first thing that I noticed last night, and this is not to throw shade on Montreal, Carolina's defenders, their back six,
right,
are so much better,
right,
than Montreal.
Yes.
And that's where they expose you. Those guys crash down the wall. They don't let you get out of your own zone. So the puck's always near Logan. They're pinching. They're crashing. It's relentless. And, oh, by the way, those defenders are really good at it. Lots of teams try to do it. Carolina executes it. And it starts with a 40-year-old gentleman who, you know, you sit there and go, wow, he can't be that effective. Brent Burns is still effective. Jacob Slavin may be the best defensive defenseman in all the NHL. Gostisbehere, with his deception and all at the point on their power play, running offensive sets. Dmitry Orlov, who we've known here for a dozen years. Their defense is really good. And that's what stood out to me. Like, whoa, this is a major leap from Montreal to Carolina. There's a reason why Carolina was second best in the Metro to Washington, and really good and highly thought of, and thought by many to be even the favorite in this series. I didn't think so, but I got this suspicion that the Caps win a long series, and that's going to be, if they're going to do that, if they're going to live up to what I think they can do, they're going to have to get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, you mentioned something that I was going to ask you about, because one of the things you pointed out to me early in the Montreal series when I had you on radio is that the Caps, it's very obvious, they're just bigger and stronger. And they did not appear to be that last night at all. That struck me. And Carolina defensively, when the Caps were even in the offensive zone, they were knocking pucks away. They were turning them over. And then I thought the pass, Carolina seemed, now maybe the Caps were just off last night, but the passing, taking that puck into the offensive zone, was so crisp for Carolina and so sloppy for the Caps, I thought. Did you feel the same
argument,
way?
No argument at all. They weren't sharp. Washington was not sharp. Carolina was. And as that game unfolded, the more and more you watched it, you're like, how is this 1-0 Washington?
Exactly.
And you go to the goal crease. Logan was good last night, Kevin. He didn't have to be extraordinarily
true,
good, but he was very good last night. And if, you know, there were a bunch of posts, there were some very, very good stops by LT, that easily could have been 4-0, 5-0 the other way around. But it was right there for you to steal. And such a shame to not be able to get that one across the finish line when it looked like you might be able to steal it. You were badly outplayed, and yet you still had it on your stick. And things happen with plays off the boards, Protas jamming Alexiev on that clearing effort. It winds up on Stan Coven's stick.
Yeah.
That's trouble. But there, it could have been settled long, long before that. The thing that amazes me, or not surprises me, Kevin, it's just these two teams want to do the same thing. And one team last night did it at incredibly fast, accurate speeds, and the other team didn't.
Was the goal Logan Thompson gave up in overtime a soft goal, as they say?
No, not to me. I mean, I think screened, yes. The release was quick. I don't know that he saw it cleanly. Has he made that save before? Yes. So I can't pin that on him. Nobody really saw the flight very well. And this is one of the reasons why Carolina preaches the game they preach. Every shot's a good shot. Every shot on goal has a chance to end up as a deflection, go in off of somebody's butt, and the goalie can't see it. So why not take it? And if Jacob Slavin, who's not a real goal scorer in any stretch, has a wide-open shot from a long range, just take it. And then Brendan Moore's philosophy is take it and then crash that net, look for rebounds, force Washington's defenders to panic. They didn't have to. It went in clean. To me, that's just all part and parcel of what Carolina does. And for the first 40 minutes or so, one thing I mentioned in our pregame coverage on Monumental Sports Network was, for Logan Thompson, the puck needs to stick to him tonight. It can't be, he's got to have good rebound control for 40 minutes clean. It was like he was a sponge. The glove was good, really good. And if you have to take stoppages and take defensive zone faceoffs, do it. Rather than what Carolina wants is keep throwing at the cage. Somebody will screw it up. It'll bounce on our tape. We'll bag goals that way. No. It wasn't there, and that's why it was a shutout performance for a long, long time. There's nothing that Carolina did offensively last night that surprises me or overly concerns me. Yes. Are they speedy? Absolutely. Do they pass the puck well? Yeah. You didn't see the best of their power play last night. You can't take penalties against them tomorrow or any other game in this series, but if it was disappointing to see the 5-on-5 play tilt so much in Carolina's favor, because I think that's one of Washington's strengths.
You know, the game winner was, I thought, an odd reaction. I think Staal was the one that was right there. And I think they had just assumed that Logan Thompson had swallowed it up like he had almost everything all night long.
You know, there was,
and they didn't see it. It was almost a delayed reaction. Yeah.
That's the thing, Kevin. It's the cage sometimes, those beanbags at the bottom. There was no net ripple. It got stuck in there. It goes in. It's like a thud. You know, you're not seeing a big – the net doesn't flare and bulge. But they knew it was through, and it just squirts through his pad, underneath his pad. And have we seen him make that save? Sure, but I don't think he tracked it at all with the screen and the amount of bodies that were in front of him.
It was a bad ending for Washington, but, man, there is something so dramatic about sudden death overtime in the NHL playoffs. So, you know, the NBA playoffs, these games are like, you know, individual entities. I mean, Game 2 can look completely different than Game 1 after adjustments. You've already talked about some of them for Spencer Carberry, but is this sport one in which what we saw last night, the opposite might occur tomorrow night?
Sure. I would imagine the Caps are in meeting rooms and in film rooms and on the practice sheet and going to be talking about it in independent group chats and however they meet for the rest of the day and for tomorrow morning and in the subsequent minutes leading up to Game 2 about ways to counteract what Carolina does. And they saw it in the flesh. They saw it twice in April, late in the regular season,
right.
So it shouldn't have been foreign to them. There's no surprises between these two teams. And schematically, people will sit there and go, geez, you know, they really behave alike. It's just a matter of who executes the best. So how do you get Carolina's forecheck off balance? How do you support the Washington defenders? How do you help Carlson and Chychrun and Sandin and Roy and Alexiev and Van Riemsdyk? How do you help them get out of the zone cleaner, better? The thing you want to look for, to me, and I'm not an analyst, I'm just a play-by-play person pretending to be an analyst.
No,
but to me, tomorrow night, look for five Caps in the picture everywhere. And that means the wings in the defensive zone, not just the center getting deep to help, but I think the wings will come further down. You'll have a more connected-looking group trying to leave the zone because Carolina is crashing and taking the boards away and forcing you to the middle and forcing you into these traps. So if you can shorten the distance of that first pass, make it quick, it's got to be accurate, and it forces them to back off a little bit, then all of a sudden you can breathe. And then you get to neutral zone, you dump it. It becomes like a punting game, Kevin. You want to change the field. You want to flip the field all the time on Carolina.
Right.
If they do it to you,
yep,
and they put it inside your five-yard line all the time,
yeah,
you want the ability to cough and corner them. You got to get out of the zone. So whatever it is that they can do, and again, the analysts and the head coaches and the assistant coaches, more importantly, and the players, they'll execute on what will help them get out better, cleaner. If you have to flip it and just, you know, literally punt the puck out of your zone, you can do that from time to time too, but you got to get it out. They tried that a couple of times last night and never got it out, so it just keeps coming right back at you. You have to get it out, and I think it's more of a five-man unit, deeper support, move as an entity through neutral zone, dump it in, and then do what they do to you. You forecheck them. And that's what we like to do. That's what the Caps like to do when they're playing well. That's why I keep saying these teams, there are times when they're mirror images of each other. Carolina's faster, top to bottom, yes. But Washington is normally a better passing team. And something I've learned since I was in youth hockey, the puck moves faster than any man. If they move the puck well, pass the puck well, they can overcome all this pressure.
Joe B. reads the room better than anybody with all of these football analogies on the show today. I still think the zero coverage blitz is the better of the two football analogies that you've given us today. All right, I'll finish with this. Concern level 0 to 5. 0, no concern at all. 5, the Caps are in big trouble in this series. Where are you?
3. You have to get tomorrow night. I don't really like the chances of beating Carolina 4 out of 5, and especially with 3 of those games being in Raleigh, where, oh, by the way, they won 31 times, I think. They were one of the top, if not the top, home ice team, toughest team to beat right there, I want to say, with Los Angeles. I don't have numbers in front of me. No, you need to get it done tomorrow, so your concern level can't be a 0. I think it's a little bit more than half, so I'll go to 3. And I just believe so much in this team, Kevin. They rarely, and I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, they rarely throw 2 clunkers in a row. And now where you're considering 8 months of really hard work on the line, all the high stakes and the high rewards and all the pressure, it's all on the line now in that game tomorrow. They need to perform better and level the series and then go down there and figure out how to beat them once, and then you become, you know, then you can become part of a best of 3 where you have 2 of them in D.C. That's got to be your mindset now. First and foremost, 1 at a time, game 2, and remedying the situation from last night. No Cap's going to look in the mirror today and say, geez, we were good last night. They weren't. Logan was. But it was off. It was just an off performance, and I'm going to chalk it up to that until I see Carolina execute that well again. If they do that well again, then they're going to make things awfully difficult.
You know, I actually have one more question, because I've asked you a lot about, you know, pressure on the Caps in the postseason, and, you know, getting out of the Montreal series was huge because they hadn't gotten out of the first round since 2018. You know, Carolina has been a threat in the Eastern Conference postseason for several years in a row now under their current coach, Rod Brindamore. Is there pressure on Carolina to go deep this year? Like, are there fans like, we can't go out in the second round again? They've been to some conference finals, but is there a lot of pressure kind of building on them?
Sure. I want to say they've been out in the second round 3 of the last 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to go deeper. They have a nucleus of players there who are just about in their prime. And they have some young guns that are going to come up and make them very, very good for a long time moving forward. But yeah, I think any of the 8 teams that are left in the Stanley Cup playoffs are good enough to win it all. I really do. Those 4 teams out west are seriously good. And I don't think there's a weak link in the East at all. You're down to four outstanding teams in the East. Two of them are in this series. One of them needs to behave better tomorrow night. And I know they're capable of it, and I know they're going to be extremely well coached to do it. Let's see how quickly they can turn the tables. You have to flip it because one team was able to do and execute to its identity far better than the other. And I don't think these two teams are that far apart. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think Washington is way better than what they showed last night. I love the heart and the hustle and the block shots that they were. There was a lot of sacrifice there. It had to be. You never had the puck. You have to be able to get out of your own zone tomorrow, and you have to put them under that pressure pack situation. You've done it before. They can do it again. They'll do it tomorrow.
Joe Beninati, everybody, always the best. Really missing you and Locker and Allen and all the guys. Hope Locker's doing well. Really appreciate this. Hopefully we have a chance to do it again before the next series or during the next series. Thanks, Joe.
My pleasure, Kev. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Joe Beninati, that was his discussion with me yesterday on my podcast. Joe's always great. The Caps are big underdogs tonight, minus 175 Carolina tonight, and they are now a minus 400 favorite to win the series. Tonight can shift a lot of those odds if the Caps can get a win. Ovechkin just one shot on goal in the opener, probably needs more than that tonight. There's my hockey input for the day. Joe's the best. Love hearing his thoughts on the sport. Big one tonight, 7 o'clock on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. When we come back, an interesting poll just released on how D.C. residents feel about a new stadium on the RFK site. We'll talk about that when we come back. In addition to another pass rushing name is out there linked to Washington. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can download the Odyssey app, listen to us whenever, wherever you want. You can watch us, the show now being streamed on the Team 980 YouTube page. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button for us if you end up consuming the show that way.